Chapter number 3. Have it say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Chapter 3. Commence our reading at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. If the Lord would help me for a little while, I'm going to preach to you, I am that I am. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
A name is a sign of personality. We don't give names to non-existent people unless you are a thief or a crook or a liar or something like that. Men that live by their name know that it is an understanding that is a verbal designation for them. And it's one being is known from another and to another by a name. And if it gets too complicated, you will separate them by state, and then by city, and then by clan, and then by tribe, and eventually you will stand out all by yourself with your name. God was interested in this name. He knew that Moses, when he had come to this juncture in his life, would ask him the question that everybody wanted to know, what is the name of God? What can we call you? How do we designate you? What makes you different? What distinguishes you from other gods? And this is a simple answer. If you will look here at this scene, you will see God first gets the attention of Moses before he gets into the personality of himself. Sometimes we have to have God get our attention before we want to go on into a further relationship with him. A deeper relationship is always God getting your attention. You can't draw nigh to God until God opens your heart. But he has promised that if you will draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. In this new year that we're facing, one of the greatest promises of any consolation to us is the fact that God is wide open for our fellowship. He is waiting. He is waiting. He is waiting. And has waited, and is waiting, and will wait longer. But eventually, he will expect you to arouse yourself and say as the psalmist did, My heart is fixed. When we get to the place that we want a fixed heart, we've got to fix it in something that doesn't change. And God is the only thing that I know of that doesn't change. Can I get somebody to say amen? Now, look at this text here. Moses is not very well received. He is a shepherd now, where he was once a prince. He had made a decision that turned his life around. He had chosen rather the afflictions of God's people. And he didn't even know anything about God's people except that they were in bondage. He was one of them. But he fled bondage and he went into the wilderness, and there he came across this young lady and her father and his father-in-law put him into the sheep herding business. And it wasn't even his sheep. He worked 40 years for another man. He was a prince. He was a well-educated man. He knew more about probably the things of Egypt and an Egyptian because he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. But this did not stop him. You see, 40 years in the wilderness does not burn out one's desire. For Moses had been tutored by his mother and father that he was a special child, special children, those who get favor with God and don't know why they have favor with God, those that are chosen by God and can't even give you one reason why God would look at them or their family. Amen. Moses could not say that he had a long line of understanding of why his people were in Egypt. It was just all oral tradition handed down, floated down, and after 40 years he had forgotten most of all of the traditions he had learned on his mother's knee. He was 40 years old when he left. He is now 80 years old and he is still tending sheep. It would look like life would have, the old proverb would say, had passed him by. Moses was not all of that keen about escaping this shepherding. He made no attempts to leave it. His 40 years of his life had been devoted to it. He had devoted as much time to shepherding as he did being a prince. Right. Anybody have to understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
life can slip up on you. Life can slip you by. Life can get gone before you realize that you haven't done anything with it. And Moses had watched 80 years of his life pass. Some first 40 years in education, glamour, palace, the last of it following the sheep, protecting the sheep, watering the sheep, feeding the sheep, protecting the sheep, getting the sheep in the pen, getting the sheep out of the pen. He was familiar now with shepherding. But then on this particular day, he sees something that is out of the ordinary. It took him a while to distinguish the extraordinary from the ordinary. It always takes a little while. You first look and it looks all normal. Then you take another look and it's not so normal. And you stand and you compare it for a while and you dwell on it and you ponder it, and all of a sudden you see, this is not natural. And what is not natural is supernatural.
Right.
Why didn't God just send an angel and get in the way of his sheep? Why didn't God do a lot of things that God could have done? God could have hung a star over that desert just like he did over a stable. God could have sent an angel speeding through with a fiery chariot like he would do later on with Elijah. But God chose none of those things. He just simply put himself in a bush. The God of the bush. The God of the bush. God caught in a bush. That bush couldn't hold God. But God knew that if anything would attract a shepherd's mind, it would be something out of the ordinary.
Right.
No doubt Moses had passed that bush for a long time. He had passed it, repassed it. 40 years, you gotta cover every bush in the whole pasture. You gotta look and understand that's daily routine. He saw that bush and he saw that bush and he looked at that bush and he passed that bush and that bush was non-consequential to him. Just another bush. And that's the way God usually works. He gets us to where it's just something else. Just another something. And then he moves into it. And takes that something that has been so ordinary that we pass it by and makes it so unordinary that it attracts our attention. And Moses' attention was attracted by this burning bush that wouldn't be consumed. And that is supernatural. Fire devours whatever it touches. You can't put fire in a bush without wood being overtaken and destroyed by fire.
Right.
Anybody say amen?
Amen?
You can't do it, but it can be done. It can't be explained, but here it is. And Moses, with all of his scientific understanding, could not explain it. Moses, with all of his wilderness experience, could not explain it. So he draws near to it. It takes and demands a closer look. That's what God always does. If you'll turn aside, he'll give you something more to look at. But if it's not interesting to you, walk right by the supernatural. Walk right by an experience of a lifetime. Moses will never forget this experience. He may forget a lot of things, but he'll never forget this one. This is equal to him to the opening of the Red Sea. This is just as important to him as the manna coming every morning from heaven. This is just as important to him as the honey out of a flinty rock. Moses was now encountering God. It took him 80 years to find him, though he was born with God's favor. 80 years had passed, and he's finally on holy ground with God. Don't give up. Don't let age discourage you. Don't let past failures drive you from it. Hold on. God is in the business of interrupting us. You see, flies are trapped in the bush, and leaves of the bush are not burning. Leaves and fire, not burning. That's a strange thing. Branches are not burning. There's no sound of fire in that bush, but fire is there. Oh, yes, it will pull you aside. How many has ever seen God work a miracle and you wondered at it? Days later, you saw it. Such an amazing thing, but such a simple thing. Somebody called somebody out and God just healed them. Somebody came up and they laid hands on them and God just healed them. It doesn't take a lot, but all of it has to be of God's choice. So God was more interested in Moses than Moses was in God. And that's a strange thing. Here we are sitting in 2011, just about ready to write it off. But yet we have one more opportunity to find out that if we will go and pursue God, he will take us into 2012 with more zeal and more zest and more hunger and more thirst and a greater desire than we've ever had before in our life. Because we know that we are coming near to the appearing of the Lord himself.
Right.
Amen. All of these things. Moses turns aside and draws near. That's what God wants. God waits. He doesn't speak to him afar off. He speaks to him right before he steps on holy ground. He stops him right before he gets too close. He wants him to make a distinguishing between ground and holy ground. Natural and supernatural. Anybody going to help me preach? You see, always we must come to those grips of what is God doing? God is always doing something. God is never idle. God is always working. When you have a congregation this size, every day God has done something. It just does not get reported.
All right.
It has to be big on our radar before we even say anything to God about it. But I'm glad he put seeing in my eyes this morning. And hearing in my ears and feeling in my fingers. I'm glad he gave me a back so I could pull myself out of bed. Amen. I'm just glad that I woke up hungry.
Yes, sir.
But that's just the small things. To walk in the presence of God for 24 hours. And then that 24 hours turn into another 24. And then another 24. And soon you look back and you have years that you've walked in the presence of God. Not a day that God has not somehow got your attention somewhere, somehow, by something. Amen. I never forget sitting on the porch that beautiful day and that hawk come up over the church and that little dove that usually sits on the banisters of our heating apparatus in the back. And saw in the peripheral vision of his little eyes, it saw that hawk. And it just jumped and leaped and sped right towards the porch. And there it came right by my rocking chair and right into that window. Just hit it with a force that broke its little neck. It chose to escape. And it was deceived by that window that looked like it was an opening for escape. For days I've marveled at the image of that little dove's face and that little dove's breast that was matched into that glass. You see its little eyes, little beak, its little breast as it all crushed in. It died wanting to live. If it had just flew and lit by my rocker, that hawk wouldn't have come. If it would have just flew and lit on the porch, that hawk wouldn't have come. But it had to figure out a way to get by me, thinking I was an enemy. Not for sure about me. Wrong choice. So many times we've had to make that choice, fleeing and go right past God into the hurt of life. Right past God into the confusion of life. Right past God into the hurdles of life. When if we would have just been content to stay with Him, He would have kept the enemy from us. He would have kept the enemy off of us. He would have kept the devil at bay. He did for Job. He will for you.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah.
All right.
You see, that's where Moses was trying to come up with a decision. He is near a bush and he knows it's not natural. But he doesn't know who's in the bush. He doesn't know what that fire represents. He doesn't catch the symbol of it. We would say, Moses, that's God. See that fire? That's supernatural. That's God. God is fire, a consuming fire. But is not consuming. God is not consuming the bush, yet He is a consuming fire.
Right.
So God is stepping out of character to get a hold of Moses. And oftentimes He does. That's why we're warned in the New Testament. We beware that how you entertain strangers. Be careful what you think about that testimony. Be careful what you say about that experience. You may be entertaining an angel unaware. Those moments of the unawares of our life. When we talk to somebody and we don't know God has put a word in their mouth for us. When we speak to somebody about something and they respond to us and we say, I can't believe that. I know them. Ah. And we just shrug off an answer from God. How many times has the Holy Ghost spoken to us and we really didn't listen? Just because we get familiar and because we're not jarred hard enough. Moses was right there. He turns and he draws near and from the bush comes a voice. A voice he didn't expect ever to hear. A voice that his mother had told him about, that they served a God that had hands and a God that had eyes and a God that had a mouth that could speak. That their God was not like an idol, that their God was an invisible God that was very much God, and that he had spoken to Abraham. And Abraham had followed the voice of God, and that he had appeared to Isaac, and Isaac had received his voice, and that Jacob had seen visions of God and had brought God down to Egypt with them. But then those years had passed, and all of a sudden the voice had stilled, and there wasn't a movement of God like in Abraham's day, and there wasn't a movement of God like in Isaac's day, and there wasn't a movement of God like in Jacob's life. And all of a sudden when the movements quit, we're awful apt to forget that that same God can be still and still be God.
Right.
That He doesn't have to scream at us. He doesn't have to shake the earth.
Right.
That if we're really searching for Him, He can be found.
Amen.
Oh, we should help me preach. You see, there's someone in that bush calling for Moses.
Amen.
Someone talking to him about shoes and taking them off and holy ground.
Right.
If you had asked Moses if there's any holy ground anywhere around that mountain, he would have been mystified and stupefied to come up with an inch of holy ground. He didn't know of it. Sheep had grazed there. He had passed over it. Nothing holy. No goose pimples and no hair standing up on the back of your neck and nothing eerie about it. It's just sheep and pasture and wilderness. But all of a sudden, the flame in the bush had a voice. Voices have personalities. Amen. Now Moses said there's somebody in that bush. Somebody that's intelligent enough to say, I need to take my shoes off and I need to realize it's holy ground. He always speaks. He can't help but to speak. He would love to speak. That's why in the last days such a warning has come to the churches in the book of Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church.
Amen.
Jesus said that there would be people that would have ears to hear and they could not hear, and eyes to see and they could not see. Are we going to fall into that classification? Are we going to lose our God-given ability to see God?
Right.
Don't despise the day of the small thing.
Right.
Don't wait till God rocks your boat to say, "Woo, God's around."
Amen.
Listen intently. There's a still small voice that is preferred over the shaking of the mountain and the fire and the splitting of the rocks.
Right.
There's a still small voice that will speak behind you. This is the way. Walk ye therein.
Amen.
We're not to fall out with God because we don't hear him all the time. We're to believe in him. Amen. But he doesn't have to make us believe in him. He's not going to play the clown to get you to believe in him. He's not going to put on a show to get your attention.
Right.
If you believe in God, you come worshiping. If you believe in God, you come searching. If you believe in God, you come with a hunger. And you come with a thirst. And you come with something inside of you that says, no matter what, I am going to serve him.
Amen.
You see, in this holy ground, he finds out that God has a history. The voice speaks and said, I'm the God of thy fathers. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. I've got a history. Aren't you glad that God's got a history?
All right.
Oh, I am. I look back on my grandma Strunk's side, and her people were preaching Baptists. Amen. Grandma got saved into Pentecostal, and her whole family cut her off. But that doesn't stop the fact that they were religious people. The heritage of my upbringing goes back deep. Amen. And that I appreciate that I've got some heritage. Did I follow it? No. Did God forsake me? No. Did I learn the catechisms? No. Did I know the commandments? No. Could I quote the Bible? No. But did God give up on me? No. Even when I wasn't seeking for him, he was searching for me.
All right. Thank God.
You see, that's the thing that we forget, that sometimes in our heritage, if I was to ask you to raise your hand, if there was somebody saved before you in your family, hands would go up all over the house. If I'd ask you, was there somebody saved before that person was saved in your family? Hands would go up all over the house. Simply because God has a history with us.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God comes to give Moses and to listen to Moses so Moses can ask him a question. Who am I? What am I going to do? How can I do this? All of a sudden, this man of great ability has doubts greater than his ability. And God must unloose this man. He must break this yoke off of his shoulder. He must set him free. He must make him now a leader. He must ask Moses to do that which he was born to do. He must instruct Moses that this is why you're here and this is why I'm here. My people are in bondage. I've come down. I've seen their afflictions. I'm sending you. You tell them I saw it. You tell them I heard them cry. You tell them I seen the hard taskmaster. You tell them. Moses, you tell them.
Right. That's right. Amen.
God could have done that. But he chose not to do it. Because he wanted Moses to introduce him. They had forgotten God in Egypt, these slaves. So Moses said, "What's your name? I got to go. I got to introduce you. I got to talk to them about you. What am I going to tell them? Who is it that's sending me? And shall I tell them you're the God of Abraham?" And God says, "That's fine. That's my covenant name. That's the name that I'm going to use as a memorial." And yet to this day, amen, even in the New Testament, it says that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And he goes back to verify that. He said, "I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of the living and not of the dead."
Right.
It's a memorial. When you serve God, you never die. And God never forgets you.
Amen.
You can be 40 years without God, but God is never going to forget you. I wish somebody help me preach. I am that I am. God starts trying to talk to Moses about something that he cannot talk to him about. I am the constant and the exhaustless and the timeless sufficiency of my chosen people. God said, without me, they're not chosen. Without me, they wouldn't be existing. Without me, they have no hope of tomorrow. I am the hope of my people. And can I serve notice today on Dryden Road? Can I tell you, don't forget God. Without God, we become a social club. Without God, we've just become another group of people. But with the hope that God will not forget us, and with the hope that God is going to be our constant and exhaustless and timely sufficiency, that God is going to be the sufficiency of his people until he takes them to a land where they don't need help.
Right.
As long as you're here and you're in Christ, God is going to stand by you.
Amen.
No matter what you're going through, remember, God is sufficient.
Amen.
Oh, somebody ought to shout amen.
Amen.
God is sufficient. No matter what you're going through, you're God's choice. God has chosen you. You have not chosen him. God has picked you out, and God has placed you in Christ, and God has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. And I think it's time that we face the future with the hope that God, that has never failed us, will not fail us now. I cannot tell you what tomorrow will hold. I cannot tell you just how to hold tomorrow. But I can tell you who does, who can, and who will help you tomorrow. You see, that I will be, that I will be is what God says. Don't ask me what I am, Moses. I will be what I want to be. I will be what I ought to be. I will be what I need to be. I will be what I need to be to my people. I am that I am is no more than I will be whatever you need. You need a mother? I will be your mother. You need a father? I will be your father. You need a husband? I will be your husband. You need a wife? I'll be your wife. You need comforting? I am your comforter.
All right.
You see, all of a sudden, God opens himself up and says, "I'm your sufficiency. I am just exactly what you need. You don't need more than me. You don't need less than me. I am what you need." Oh, hallelujah. I am all in all, always with you, always concerned for you, always mighty to bring you off more than a conqueror. Always with you, always concerned for you, always trying to make you better than what you are. That's God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now listen, as God tells Moses his name, he said, "I am that I am." Moses asked him for his name, and a name describes character, and a name describes a nature or an office. But there it is. He's asking God for his name. And how will God answer? Well, he answers Moses. Isn't it wonderful that God doesn't mind answering your questions?
All right.
Moses, you're going to need a vocabulary that you don't possess. You may be the learned of Egypt, but your vocabulary cannot grasp what I am. So I'm going to try to give you my name, and I can't do it in just one word. If I say God, you'll be mystified the rest of your life. So I've got to try to find a word that I can express to you who I am. Since you asked my name, I am that I am. I'm going to have to try to find a word. And you can't do it with one word, Moses. He said, I'm too broad in being for you to comprehend in one word my name. I'm too large in nature for you to comprehend in one word my name. I am too measureless in capacity and possibility for you to size me up and to understand me in one single word.
All right.
He says to Moses, I will do my best to make myself known to you. I'm going to choose several things that I'm going to try to tell you, and the potential of your words and your dialect, and thus endeavor to lift you to some conception of who I am. Amen. I am that I am. I am eternal, omnificent, omnipotent. I am goodness, justice, truth. I am the creator, the preserver, and the sovereign of the universe. I am all that I ever need to be, accomplishing my design and to carry on my government and to work out all my will. You see, you can't do it in one word.
No.
God is not big enough. And that's exactly what he is.
Right.
So he goes outside of the bounds and he said, I am all in all. To those who commit themselves to my keeping in well-doing, I am inhabiting eternity. I am infinite. I am as yet there was and none beside me. I was still what I was when there was nobody else.
Right.
I am that I am. From eon to eon, from century to century, from day to day, I am the satisfaction and the sufficiency of myself. And the verse in particular, as a continuance and obligation and necessity evermore, the satisfaction and the sufficiency of my people. He said, I am everything you need.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Ask me what you choose. He said, I'm your answer. I am the Father of lights. Call on me, and I am your desire. I'm the fount of every blessing. Draw on me, and I'm your fullness. I am the God of all grace. Look to me, and I am your satisfaction.
All right.
Amen. I am able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think.
Right.
Make out your check, Moses. Amen. Make out your check, whatever you need for this life or godliness or whatever it is. I am both your security and your sufficiency.
Right.
He said, I'll stand good for it, and I've got all it takes to get it done.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, if you're a criminal, I'm your forgiveness. If you're foul, I'm your cleansing. If you're worldly, I'm your sanctification. If you are forsaken, I'm your company. If you are an orphan, I'm your father. If you are a widow, I'm your husband. If you are helpless, I'm your strength. If you're in sickness, I'm your health. In war, I'm your shield. You are dying, I'm your life. You are dead, I'm your resurrection. You are houseless, I am your house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Well, I'm trying to preach. Thank you, Brother Steve. There is nothing. I am not to those who cast their care upon me. I carry them on my heart. I cover them all the day long. I am their past. I am their present. I am their future. I am their today. I am their tomorrow. I am their world without end. I am their earth. I am their heaven. I am their better city. And I am for them for better or worse. And they shall be mine when I make up my jewels. See, God is trying to explain to Moses what he is. And I've went through whatever life throws at you, God can handle it. He can handle your tears and he can handle atomic bombs. He can handle your hurts and he can handle anything that makes you hurt. Nothing is too hard for God, nothing is too big for God, and nothing is impossible with God. Our God is the God of the church. Amen. He had to come to Moses, but he didn't have to come to us in a bush. He came to us in Jesus Christ. He offered to us eternal life through him. And if we would believe, we will never die. Believest thou this? No wonder people back up and say, you folks are really something else. We are. We don't ever expect to die. Somebody's going to preach my funeral, or I may preach my own. You can't never tell. I may get up one Sunday morning and preach my own funeral. And you can just play the tape. Put the old CD in and punch it. Say, BD's already preached his own funeral. But I won't preach it the way God's going to preach it. For God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the reason that you're here is because I was your Alpha and I was your Omega and everything in between. I was your A and I was your Z, and with that, you wrote the pages on your life. I want to tell you something about the God that you serve. He's not a quitter. You may walk off from him, but he'll never walk away from you. As long as you will be the clay, he'll be the potter. As long as you will be touchable, handleable, God's hands will be on the situation. The only way to break God away from you is for you to break away from God. God said, I'll never leave you. What does never mean? Does never mean never? Does never really mean never? Is there going to be a 24-hour period that God forsakes me? I'm going to tell you, let the devil be a liar and God be true. When God said never, he meant never. And I found it out 47 years worth of it that God meant never. When the top rough times came, he was right there. When bad times came, he was right there. When good times came, he was right there. When I needed him to hold my hand, he took it. When I needed him to guide my feet, he did that. Whatever I needed, I found in him to be my all and in all. He tries to explain his name and the promise of his name to Moses, and he just simply says, I am a being. You don't understand me, but I've got eyes and I can see you, Moses. When you couldn't see me, I could see you. I'm a being. I can hear. I can speak. I can reason. I can feel. You can hurt me, Moses. You can make me angry. I'm a being. And then he says, but I'm a personal being. I am what I am. You can't make me what you want me to be. I am what I am because I'm a personal being. I am God. I will never be less than God, never be more than God. I'll always just be God. I am that I am. I'm not going to change tomorrow, Moses. You won't change me tomorrow. Neither will backslidden Israel change me. Neither will them falling away and murmuring and complaining change me. I'll be God. I'll be who I am. I'll always be who I am. And I will be supreme. There will not be another one above me. There will never be another one like me. There will never be another one identified with me. I am God. Hallelujah! 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 Not only is he supreme, he said, I am that I am. I am what I am. I will be what I will be. And nobody will make me any different than what I am. Well, I can face tomorrow with that. That's what he's going to ask Moses to do. Trust him. Trust him with no more than a rod. Trust him with no more than preaching. Touch him. And God can make a stammering man a prophet. Touch God. And God can take a shepherd and make him a priest. Touch him. And he can make you a lawgiver. Touch him. And he can make you a savior of a nation. God is still looking for a man who is trying to understand him. God is still looking for someone who will say to God, I need to be more like you. And God will say to that hungry soul, I am the bread of life. I am life.
Right.
I am light. I am a good shepherd. I am the truth. I am the resurrection. I am the water of life. I am still your cloak of righteousness. I am still your shield. I am still the sword in your hand. I am still the word in your mouth. I am still the beating of your heart. I am still the song in your night. I am still the dream of your heart. Hallelujah. And God will never change. I wish somebody would shout amen. You see, my friends, in all that we are, we are to exalt Him. We may not understand Him, but we have to exalt Him.
Right.
Jesus came through Bethlehem and Mary, and God moved into Christ to reconcile the world to Himself. You see, Moses didn't see God's face. He saw His hinder part. He saw a glimpse of His glory. But we saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We saw God on a cross. We saw God crying at a grave. We seen God loving children. We seen God giving life back. We've seen God manifesting Himself in flesh. It says of Jesus Christ, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now God has a name. It's more than I am. But when Jesus came, He took up that name, I am.
Amen.
So that every one of us could know that God now has a face.
Yes.
God now has a beating heart that a man can hear. God now has hands and feet and a torso. God now has. In His letter to the Philippians, Paul penned an arresting announcement that God hath given Christ a name which is above every name, and he envisioned the time when every knee should bow unto Christ, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. To his letter in the Colossians, Paul declared that Jesus was unqualified supremacy. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He's the head of the church. He's the firstborn from the dead. In all things He has preeminence. He proceeds further in all others in His priority. He succeeds all others in His superiority. He succeeds all others in His finality. Amen. He's the master, the mighty, the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of peace. He is the king of kings, and He is the Lord of lords. And He's on your side. And He answers your prayer. And He'll never forsake you. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
In the letter to the Romans, Paul declared that we all belong to Christ. We're all responsible ultimately to Him for everything that we do. We live unto the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. Yea, the great aim which Christ died and lives again was that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living.
Amen.
That's why when I go to the graveside of somebody that I know has lived a life in Christ, I do not weep. I do not mourn. I say, "Thank you, Lord." And I mean it from the depths of my heart. Thank you, Lord, for your lordship. You have got them safely through the last struggle of life. You've got them through death. Death is the last enemy. Oh, hallelujah. In Him we live and move and have our being. That's not only now, but that's also in our future. We're to call Him Father. He deserves that. To be obedient as sons and daughters, we're to call God Father. He is our only hope. He is our only help. God is our refuge. Listen to the psalmist as he said, "And our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore shall not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." There is the streams, amen, that whereof shall make the glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early, the heathen rage, the kingdoms will move. He will utter his voice, and the earth is melted by his voice. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the work of the Lord. What desolations he's made in the earth. He maketh war to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh bow and cutteth spear asunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Yes.
Praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, praise the Lord. Oh, come on.
What a subject to end the year with.
Glory all right.
What a challenge it is. What a wonderful challenge it is.
Amen.
Oh, I could have preached to you, Mary had a little lamb, fleece as white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. I could have borrowed Brother Snodgrass's great message about the three wolves. But I'd rather talk about Jesus even if you don't want to hear me. I'd rather tell you about God even though you can't comprehend it. I would rather tell you the truth of the matter is that we need him more now than we've ever needed him in our life. We face a dark world. We face a dark future. We face a year of politics. That's always deathly to everybody. It separates brothers from brothers and sisters from sisters. It'll separate families. It'll separate friends. Before it's all over, it'll make you a Democrat or a Republican or somebody. But I want to tell you before we ever enter into it, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. Hallelujah. You see, when we talk about him, in him we live and move and have our being. Do you? We are too. Jesus is Lord because he came down the stairway of heaven, born in Bethlehem, hid in Egypt, brought up in Nazareth, baptized in Jordan, tempted in the wilderness, performed miracles by the roadside, went about doing good, healed multitudes without medicine, made no charge for his service. Everywhere he went, he overcame everything that came up against him. He went there on Calvary, died for your sins and mine. He went down into the grave, made it a place where we can go without fear.
Right.
Amen. Died for your sins and mine. Amen. And he made it a pleasant place to wait for the resurrection. On scheduled time. Not by the might of his own power, he arose with every form of power from the harbor of his own omnipotence and stood there with scars and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Right.
And the church yet unrealizing what a great Savior we have. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Let the devil worry about it. We've got nothing to worry about. Let the devil be afraid. We should fear nothing. Let the devil tremble, which he does, at the name of Jesus. But at the name of Jesus, consolation comes into our heart. A song breaks out. Amen. All of a sudden, at the name of Jesus, weakness becomes strength. And at the name of Jesus, we stand. And we stand because we are not strong and we are not warriors, but we are the followers of the Lamb. And the Lamb that was there on Calvary has turned to be the Lion of Judah. And he roars now. And that's in the future he will roar and every knee will bow. In the future he will roar and every wrong will be made right. In the future he will roar and all the dead will get up. In the future when he roars, we will live and live forever. He's the pearl from paradise. He's the gem from the glory land. He's the fairest jewel. He's time choicest theme, life's strongest chord. He's light's clearest ray. He's glory's sumbliest summit. He's Lord. He is Lord. I love him. I love him because of his goodness. I praise him because of his greatness. I believe in him because of his faithfulness. I adore him because of his holiness. He's the Lord, my light and my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my high tower. The Lord is my shield and buckler. The Lord is my shade upon my right hand. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my God. In him will I trust. The Lord is my rock. And there's no unrighteousness in him.
Right.
I want to tell you, my folks, 2012 may give us all we can take, but I still believe in him.
Right.
That behind everything, there is a reason.
Amen.
And without his permission, the devil can do us no harm.
Amen.
Stay with God.
Right. Praise God.
Some of you are sitting here alone because your companion has chosen not to go with God. Some of you are sitting here alone because death has taken your companion from you, and you must go alone without your companion, but you never go alone without God.
Amen.
The close of the year, we come again with saddened hearts because of loss. At the end of the year, we look at those things which we have accomplished. We have a beautiful fellowship hall. We have repaired and kept in good repair our sanctuary. We look at this, what we have accomplished, and we have not yet seen the fullness of what God can do for us.
Amen.
We look at the new faces God has added to the church, and we thank God for them, every one.
Right. Yes,
we hear the new voices singing in the church, and we thank God for every song that they sing.
Amen.
We see our children around the altar speaking in tongues. We hear them speaking in tongues. And we thank God for the noise of the Spirit in the house of God. We've seen the year pass us by, and we've watched as God done great things. He's yet to do greater. He's yet to do what he wants to do. We've seen Steve. Can I say that in this year, I have, as a pastor, he has just amazed me. Steve Hasty has amazed me. You see, Stephen never even told anybody his story. Steve has a story to tell that'll just make your head swim. It's just amazing how God took him, almost took him home from us, put him in the hospital, and when he thought he couldn't give up certain things, he found out that if God lays you down long enough and leaves you laying long enough, that you get a whole new lease on life.
Amen.
You can come out saying, God, I can. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look at what God has done. Look at Henry, where God has brought Henry from. Made him a family man. Made him love his children, love his wife. Just made him do things. Look at what God has done. Can I go on, or will it be embarrassing? Here sits Jeff again. If his mom was here, she'd be shouting. If his dad was here, we'd have to repair pews. You know, here he sits again. He tried once before and couldn't make it, but here he is back because God answers prayer even after your parents are dead.
Right.
Can I get an amen?
And
look at Sandy. She's on the way of making me a great holiness woman. I told her she would. I believe that. Look at Nicole back on the back seat, which she shouldn't be back on the back seat. But I told her when she got saved, I said, you're going to make me a holiness woman. I'm not going to let you be anything less than a holiness woman. And look at her. And look at Tony. Look at the Tony. Turn around with God for Tony.
Yes, sir.
You see, we have seen God's grace in a wonderful way. Look at Rodney. Rodney's still digging in, trying to find revival. Now, I hope it gets him. I hope it burns him up. I just hope it just leaves nothing but just a shadow of what he used to be. Because it's been a long time coming. Being a preacher boy, being a PK, is not the easiest job in the world. And living under the shadow of a good dad and a praying grandpa and grandma, all of a sudden now the values of what they were comes into view. And now he's digging, trying to get back those recovered Frank Boyd's praying life and trying to come up with Roger Boyd's wanting to worship God and traveling any length it can. And all of a sudden, we look back here and there is Tommy Boggs. smiling and loving preaching. Can you imagine? Tommy Boggs, loving preaching, raising his hands, feeling God, speaking in tongues right over here. All of a sudden, things that we just took for granted, we see supernatural things in it. All of a sudden, God is not so far off. All of a sudden, God is with us, and God visits our pews, and God works in our altars, and God helps our preachers, and God heals our sick, and all of a sudden, there we are. Amen. I look at our young ladies on the front, and I could go down through the whole list, and I can just say grace and grace and grace, and that's not none of her names, and just say God's grace, 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 and just see them lined up there, and all of them, with a capability of being a blessing to us tomorrow and today.
Right.
Yes, sir.
It was this year that we watched Sister Tanya sit over here and laugh and speak in tongues and couldn't go home. We're just acting plumb awful. Just acting plumb awful. But you know, she could care less what we thought. She had finally got up to another level where being in the Spirit was more important than anything. Come on, somebody say amen. All that's happened this year, we don't want to forget that. We don't want to forget how good God has been. We don't want to forget how God has moved. Right. I said in the revival, I gave Leah, she was praying about the will of God, and she was head down in the pew. She was serious about it, praying about the will of God. And I said, okay, all right, I'm your pastor. I'm going to give you some homework, and I'm going to ask you what you're going to find out about the will of God. The verse that the preacher preached on the other night. Present your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable. I gave that to her, and I said, Leah, that's your homework. And if not, somewhere in her bedroom or somewhere, she got down and prayed and was praying about that. And so God sends a preacher, an educated preacher, an eloquent preacher, and gives her all the answers that she needs. I think that is pulling strings.
God.
I don't think that's the way that the assignment was supposed to be worked out. But you see, Leah, that when you were in secret pulling those strings, God said, okay, all right, I care. I care. I care. And he gives her answers. Come on, somebody say amen. You say, preacher, didn't you have the answers to give? I did, but she wouldn't have got that if I had gave her then what she didn't know was coming to her. You see, God still makes house calls. God still answers questions. God still is the answer to the question. God can make you what you never dreamed you can be. And it could all happen in 2012. If we set our face like flint towards God, if we will not be denied, if we will say to God, I want more of you, I need more of you, and I may not understand your name, and you may not give me the privilege that you give Moses, but I want to tell you, God, I've learned enough about you that I know if I whisper the name of Jesus, that's good enough. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See Fred and Sabrina sitting back there with the family. Oh, that's good homecoming. That's just the way it should be. I thank God for it. Amen.
Amen.
I said, I thank God for it.
Amen.
Have Dave and his family. Dave is a piece of work. I just love the way God does him. You see, when he got to, I hope I don't offend nobody, but if I do, I do. He came to us and he's sitting there, and I said, Dave, now look, I want to tell you, I can't use you. He said, why? And I said, you got rings on. I said, I got a platform standard. He said, that's no problem. He just took them off. Now, had them on since. I wish all my problems were that small. That happened right at Dryden Road. Right at Dryden Road. That's no problem.
Amen.
You see, that's not the best of all. Him and Rick was talking back here, viewing or something. And he started home, and the Holy Ghost turned him around up around 75 somewhere. Turned him around, and he came back, and he come through that door and stuck his head in my door, and he said, I was hoping you was here. I didn't know him. I said, yeah, I'm here. He walked in, got right down close to me, and he said, if you can show me in the Bible where paying tithes is right, I'll do it. That's just what a preacher loves to hear. I'll do it. I got my Bible and got in Genesis, and before we got through, amen, over into the New Testament, he was ready to change. But what moved my heart to the depths, he got up to go home, started towards the door, and he said, I can't leave. I can't leave. I thought, oh boy, here we go. I didn't do something right. He got down right there beside me and said, God, I've been wrong all of these years, and I can't go home without asking you to forgive me. And with tears running down his face, he asked God to forgive him. That happened right here at Dryden Road. Oh, you're not helping me preach. You're not helping me preach. But I cannot let 2011 stop without telling you that God has done some great things. Yes, we've lost. In the time that I've been here, we lost A.C. Abner, Demi Abner, Buck Alexander, Glenn Allison, Floaty Baldwin, Angie Banks, James Banks, Mary Banks, Andy Bowman, Audrey Bryans, James Bryans, Charlie Brooks, Opal Brooks, Marie Berger, Sylvester Carpenter, Dorsey Combs, Elizabeth Combs, Ray Combs, Dan Curtis, Daryl Curtis, Willa Dean Curtis, Robert Deerworth, Goldie DeMint, Baby Duane, Ray Driscoll, Oki Edwards, Kenny Edwards, Joan Goins, Ada Greathouse, Everett Harrison, Cody Hasty, Keelan Hasty, Grace Hasty, Mick Hasty, Richard Hasty, Nan Hayes, Carl Henson, Luther Henson, Dorothy Henson, Taylor Hill, James Hostetler, Carolyn Hoskins, Paul Huntley, Jenny Hurst, Bobby Jackson, Monroe Jackson, Thomas Jewell, Larry Lakes, Addie Lamb, Raymond Lamb, Moses Lilly, Naomi Lindsay, Donna Maggard, Roxy Malone, Nevita, Sister V, Edward Metcalf, Virgil Metcalf, Wilma Metcalf, Tricia Miles, Clifford Mills, Ruby Mills, Robert Murphy, Scott Knock, Anna Norris, James Pelfrey, Frank Pennington, Sandy Powell, Patsy Roberts, Harrison Roberts, Elizabeth Robinson, Troy Robinson, Ray Satterfield, Tommy Satterfield, Don Shelton, Gene Shelton, Maggie Shiflett, Nettie Smith, James Stiles, Laura Stoker, Benjamin Sweet, Lucy Sweet, John Swofford, Esther Webb, Herbert Webb, Don Wheeler, June Welch, Raleigh Welch, Willis Wells, Berna Williams, Georgia Wilson, Anson Wilson, Miranda Wilson, and Roly Wilson. 96 people we have sent from here on their way into eternity, and there would be no hope except for Jesus Christ.
All right.
We have a great company that crowds the banisters of heaven. I have preached longer than what I usually preach. I know it. I'm not apologizing. We have a great banister full of people looking over, observing us, and saying, come on. Come on. Come on. We can stay a church until Jesus comes. A lively church, a spirit-filled church, a church with hope, a church with the move of God, a church with direction, a church that is fearless, a church of courage, a church of singing and shouting and dancing, a church that's on fire and waiting for the Lord of glory to come. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We're going to stand and pray, then get into our communion service. I want you to stand with me. I want you to join me in prayer of thanksgiving. I want you to tell God that you're thankful for your church. If you're not, you're in the wrong church. You should keep looking until you can find one that you're thankful for. Let me remind you, we are a holiness church. Our sister that's standing here can tell you that where she comes from, we're known as a holiness church. Amen. In California, where our brother comes from, we're known as a holiness church. Our brother Bill Prescott just left Virginia. We're known as a holiness church. In Texas, we're known as a holiness church. In Florida, we're known as a holiness church. We did not earn that. God has helped us to come to that. We need to thank God for it. We need to thank God for it in such a way that we will not be afraid if somebody gets up and takes a holiness message and preaches it to us. Amen. If somebody comes real close to you and almost cuts your toenails off, you should jump out in the aisles and shout instead of sit in the pew and sulk. I'd rather be rebuked of the Lord than have him go silent on me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I did not tell all the story of Dryden Road. I did not tell of our healings and our helps, or the miracles that God has done for us, or the keeping of our finances. We have never been a church that has been blessed with an overload of finances, but we have come 34 years on a shoestring. You wasn't rich when I came to you. Amen. There's about $800 and some in the treasury when I got here. We may have about $870 now in the treasury, but we have come a mighty long ways. We have a net worth now of over $1 million, probably and a half. Easily, $1.5 million. Well, you're not hearing me. And we've done that without any outside anybody giving us anything. Nobody wrote us a check of any kind from outside. Brother Lowry could talk about the fellow coming down to McDonald's and sitting down with him and writing him a check and paid off his church. I can't. But I can tell you God can.
Amen.
Can't God keep us going?
Amen.
When we even wonder where it's coming from, God will keep us going. God has kept us going. And we're going to depend on him to get us through 2012. Amen. And continue to work for the edification and exaltation of this church. Jesus wants us to have more. Join me in prayer and us asking for it. Father, thank you for letting me speak to my people. They have had a lot of gospel preaching this week, and I knew they wasn't hungry. But I tried to preach this tonight, Lord, to get them to understand that we're not going to face this coming year without you. You are the God of now, and we know that you're going to make a way. We thank you for every soul that's been added to the church, every family that's come to this church. We thank you for every offering they gave to this church and to the wants of the people and to the supporting of the ministry and to every evangelist that's come and every missionary that's come. We have gave and gave and gave until we have gave a lot of money away. But we do not want you to think, Lord, that we are not thankful. We know that the more we give, the more we receive. And the more that we trust you, the greater you bless us. Hallelujah. You've added to the church daily such as should be saved. You brought people that were casualties into this church and you've healed them. You've taken away, Lord, the broken hearts of many. You've healed them physically and spiritually and mentally, Lord. You've made a way where there didn't seem like there was no way. And we just wanted to stop before this year was done and say, thank you, Lord. We couldn't have done any of this without you.
You're the reason we sing, and you're the reason we dance and shout. You're the reason we run. You're the reason, Lord, for all. And we never want to forget that everything that's good and everything that's perfect and every gift comes down from the Father, and we thank you for it. Hallelujah! We thank you for it. We give you glory and honor for it, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. And I get an amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated.